Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Booty burner. How do I build the glutes? Really, the question should be, how do I feel the glutes, right? And we did a whole podcast on Cobra Board and how that really helps to actually put you in a position that you can finally feel your glutes again.
Whether you're squatting or hinging, this thing helps activate those glutes. Just keep yourself active around those hips, balance through the different movement patterns.
And really, it's just a resistance band piece of equipment that doesn't take up much space and you can do it at home. So no matter what, it's great feedback for the body. It's going to make you feel amazing. Like people, we both have used it with clients who have back pain, knee pain, different, you know, stuff going on within the body. And it's easy to use at home and get a great workout.
With these bands, you can load your muscles up hundreds of pounds, and this thing weighs like 10 pounds. So easy to store, easy to transport. You can use code OPTIMAL to get 10% off. Check out the link in the show notes. We have been using this thing for so long, and we just know that you would benefit from it so much too.
All right, so hopping into a really popular and I think super relevant topic, tech neck, or that nice forward head posture that we all get from sitting on our technology all day, or text neck if we're just texting on our phone. So how can we start to address tech neck and all of the neck pains and back pains that come along with it?
I know. I think we really got to start, like, again, we just acknowledge that technology is a part of our world. And so rather than trying to run from something, how can we better incorporate it into our bodies and into our health? Because as we get into this forward head posture, like what naturally happens is that it's not necessarily that, oh, well, my background's and then this happens and then that happens. It could, like, and that could be why your head's falling forward. But in general, when we're talking about tech neck and it's the technology in front of our eyes, it is natural and normal, so you are a normal human, for your gaze to, or your head to follow your gaze. That's just what happens, right? It's like, picture those kids when they're sitting at like preschool, you know, and they're really engaged in the story that's happening and they're just looking forward at the teacher and they're kind of leaning forward with their jaws open. Like, it is natural for your gaze to follow your attention, and that's okay, but that just means that our head is doing that. So how can we start to modify or, you know, just change it throughout the day?
Not to mention just that our neck muscles, our back muscles, and trunk muscles, you know, are connected with our eyes and our gaze. So if our gaze is going down at something, that's only going to be natural. But if our gaze is focused on something, on one point, versus not focused, but looking at something that's more of a broad expanse, like a sunset or a mountain or a big field, that is a sympathetic, us looking at one thing, a focused vision, which is more, you know, fight or flight. Our shoulders want to creep up towards our ears. It's going to be slightly more inflammatory phase versus that sunrise or sunset where we have a lot that our eyes can scan amongst. That's more parasympathetic, or rest and digest, or just that relaxing feel. Just looking at a sunset, that can kind of flip our physiology.
Exactly. And I think it's so important that we mention this with forward head posture, because it's not just about the biomechanics, right? But it's actually what's happening in a deeper level. And it's so true. If you look at literally almost any photo that you can even find on the internet, it's like if people are sitting enjoying a sunset or standing, they're usually like upright, they're taking it all in, their body, you're not thinking, is my chin tucked, or my shoulder blades, you know, you're open, more alert, more relaxed. Where if you are in that sympathetic and kind of more like, oh my God, I gotta get this done, or what is that person saying, or what is this email that's coming through,
notification popping up,
your body goes more into that fight, flight, and tension. So a lot of times neck pain or forward head posture could be associated with pain, not that it always is, but we just want to see, okay, we're not only going to talk about biomechanics in this one, but we're also going to talk about modifying how our central nervous system is responding as well.
Yeah, and the different things we can put in our environment to make those impacts. So, I mean, first off, if we're talking forward head posture, there are different muscles involved. There are different muscles that kind of become the victim to sitting in this posture for an extended amount of time. when we have deep neck flexors that are super important for neck stabilization, that as we sit with this forward head posture, but they become really elongated and they kind of lose sense of what's going on. So they lose sense of how to balance up that overall neck support.
Yeah. And then on the flip side of that, the muscles that kind of get shortened or tightened, shortened is usually what people think about. And that's really in the back of the neck, those neck extensors, they get really tight and small back there because think about it, if your head is going up and forward, you know, you're going to have tension buildup. Think about tension headaches, all those. But the other muscle that gets really tight is as our head comes forward, this big SCM, this sternocleidomastoid, which is right on the side of the neck. And sometimes if you pinch it, you might notice like, ooh, there is some tension going on there. I didn't realize how tight it is. So that muscle also gets pulled forward and kind of shortened. And when we say about shortened, it's not that the muscle doesn't have room to elongate or move through its normal range. It's just now that we've conditioned it kind of into the shortened kind yeah. of phase, like that's what the body starts to know. That's what it starts to say, like, oh, this is where we live now. So it is, you know, just lacking that full range, lacking that full control, and it can contribute to building up tension or pain around the neck.
And the muscles kind of do that to find stability itself when, yeah. when it's out of a stable, again, when our head gets thrown forward, imagine like the spire on the top of a freaking skyscraper all of a sudden bending to the side. It's going to throw the weight of that whole building off because now our head's not over our base of support anymore. So those muscles in the back and those big sternocleidomastoids or those SCMs in the front, they just kind of start to harden down. They're like, okay, we're going to find some stability somehow. Because not all the play is a playing in this game anymore, and we're losing some balance. So it's almost this perpetuating thing. The more they sit there, the more they feel like they need to get irritated, and the more they, like you said, shorten's not a great word because then yeah. people think that the muscle's like actively physically shortening.
Yeah.
No, it's just that our brain's sending more messages so that it sits in a more tense position on average,
yes.
which will probably cause it to be shorter in length, not meaning it doesn't have that length to grow back into.
Exactly. And that's why also then we can't just say, well, if I release that tissue, right, that shortened yeah. tissue, if I just press into it, if I just get balls and I just push into it, you know, maybe for the moment you might feel some release of tension. But what is that doing long term if we haven't adjusted anything that you do that actually puts you into that forward head posture, right? We're not doing anything. Or if we're not addressing those muscles that kind of lack the control and lose that awareness in those deep neck yeah. flexors. And so that's why we want to start to say, okay, how can we just start to modify what we actually do within our body and what we have control of? And mm-hmm. I think the first state that we need to focus on is actually the state of our body, right? And our gaze, like we talked about, it goes into this single point focus. It becomes more sympathetic. So we need to develop practices that adjust and modulate us better to be able to drop into parasympathetic practices more so throughout the day.
Yeah. I mean, although the releases and the massages and the tools that people use on us, they feel nice and they might have some benefit or feel some benefit immediately after, how long is it that we've been dealing with this issue, if it is an issue, if you're having pain? How long have you noticed your head start to migrate forward, or that you find yourself in this forward head position? If this is something you've been dealing with for 20, 30 years, then we really got to approach it that way, that, hey, this is going to be a journey of working out of this, not even working out of the position itself, but learning how to support yourself within those symptoms that come up, learning how to adjust, like Jen said, the environment so that we can keep on typing in that new plan mm-hmm. and keep on teaching the brain, okay, here's how we can position slightly differently when we do this thing, like pick up our phone, which habitually my body just wants to go in this forward hunched position to look at. Like, so how can we start to give ourselves cues in our environment to make us start doing these things consistently?
Yeah. And we're going to say it again because you guys are just going to have to hear it over and over. One of the biggest tools that Dom and I use to really get us out of that sympathetic is breath.
The breath. And that
episode
helps,
11.
Totally. And that helps with just the overall stress. Like we were mentioning, the sympathetic, parasympathetic. I mean, think about looking at a sunset. What do you want to do? Just a nice long sigh versus, you know, looking at emails that you're trying to respond to. You're probably not even breathing. So it's yeah, just like, exactly. What are we doing with our breath? What are we doing with that gaze? Those are two areas already that mm-hmm. we can start to address that might help with that posture.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, are there practices that you can incorporate taking you outside, changing that environment. So again, changing the gaze, like we're not looking at a screen. We're not looking, even if you're like, oh, I'm going to watch TV on my big screen. That's still a single point gaze. I'm sorry. So getting yourself out of screens and out of that single point and focusing on one thing and allowing your body the ability to look and kind of do this panoramic view. So not turning the head all over the place, but actually just like looking out and taking it all in. That's really what kind of changes that gaze and changes that environment in our own body.
Yeah. And I love doing this in the morning myself, you know, getting outside, taking some breaths in the morning. It's a great place to kind of set that state. But again, then if we go and sit down at a computer and sit at that tech all day long, what are we spending most of our time doing? So again, some people will be like, but I work a desk job. I have to be there. It's like, okay, well, if we have to be here, how can we change this immediate environment? Do I have a timer I can set to be like, oh, 30 minutes is up. That means I should do something different. Because if it's just that reminder that helps us build more awareness consistently, trust me, you'll turn that timer off after like a week or a few days because it'll become annoying. And you'll just be like, okay, I now am realizing myself that when I sit for half an hour, something starts to go off inside that says, hey, move a little bit. Otherwise, your neck's going to start to hurt.
Right. Exactly. So first, we want to change that state, modulate us better into not staying at that super stressed sympathetic, even if you might not feel stressed, your body is sensing it and tapping us into that parasympathetic. And then we really just want to, you know, kind of monitor our environment, which we've talked about a little bit before. But, you know, one thing that is, I think the first that comes to mind is if you are working at a desk job, making sure that your computer screen is directly in front of your gaze if you're just looking up, right? So you don't want to be looking down at any, like at the screen, because that just causes the head to kind of shift forward. Again, the head is going to follow the gaze. So if the head is at least up and you can try to kind of have your hips underneath you and your head on top of you, you have a better chance of at least maintaining it for a little bit. And if you're at a laptop, one of the ways to do this is to just place the whole laptop screen itself or the whole laptop at a little bit higher. So whether you're stacking books or something, and then get an external keyboard and have the keyboard, like making sure that your wrists are right in line with the elbows a little bit lower.
And again, like, so we can adjust the screen itself, or we can move our body. And we can, if we're sitting for most of the day, it's like, do we have a place? Are we working in our house that we can lay on our stomach for like 10 minutes while we work? I mean, that's just getting our whole upper back, thoracic spine, neck extending while we're working in itself. I mean, I know Jen was saying bringing the screen up to you, that can be so important because a lot of people just like to stand while they work. And so they'll stand at a desk that's way too low.
Yeah.
And then they'll be trying to look down at their computer the whole time. So again, if you want to stand, great, but then make sure you're at a counter or somewhere that you can raise that computer up for you.
And then the other one is the phone. I think that gets talked about a lot in the videos that go kind of viral are like, make sure your shoulder blades are down and back and bring your elbows up and so that your hands are directly in front of you. And I'm like, who is holding that all day long? Like, please tell me. Your shoulders are going to get tired. Maybe your hands go numb. Right. Like, it's just, it's not reality. And I like talking into reality when we're talking about clients too, because what would I do? I'm not going to tell someone to do something that's not reality. So sometimes, you know, if you're going to be on your phone sitting down, get into a comfortable position, cross your arms or have a pillow kind of underneath your arms where you can prop your elbow comfortably on top of the other arm or on the pillow. So you're not having to look down as much, but you can comfortably kind of come up. So even if you were rounded back into the chair for a little bit and then bringing that arm on the chest, and then your gaze would be directly in front of you. I mean, again, and like Dom said, can you lay on your stomach? Can you lay on your side? Can you go for a walk? You know, there's just, how can we mix up positions? We never want to be static and in one position all the time. That's only going to increase the stress that we have in the system.
Which is where you're even hearing Jen and I say these things like, oh, prop your screen up, you know, prop your elbow up on something. Like, these are just options. Yeah. Like, same thing as the optimal body. There's no one optimal body. There's no one optimal position to work in. There's no one optimal position to look at your phone in. There's no one optimal position to lay on the couch in while you're on your phone. It's about moving amongst and through these and using them to be able to avoid static positions or constant positions for extended amount of times throughout the day. So the main thing is finding the ways to move, or even if you have a couple
mobility stretches or mobility exercises that you know are specific to you. I mean, me, if I get up and do one like upper back thing and one big neck retraction and extension thing every hour and sit back down, I'll feel so much better at the end of the day just doing that 3 or 4 times throughout the day than if I worked an hour at it in the morning.
Totally. Some of my favorite are just going over to the wall and doing some of my favorite pec stretches. Mm-hmm. Those just feel so amazing, especially if you are forward or working on people, if you're a clinician or anything like that, like anything that kind of stresses the chest forward and then getting that open mobility up and then doing some thoracic mobility and breath. Oh, like if I can continue with, and I need get to work on this myself a little bit more as well. Like if I can remember to do that more often, like I know I'm going to feel different within my body.
So we already talked through our favorite exercise, which is basically our favorite exercise for everything, which is breathing or more so coming to that core stability. And we like to do that through the breath. Other things we like to do, deep neck flexor. I kind of mentioned those deep neck flexors that get all stretched out. Doing deep neck flexor stability and endurance exercises, which we talked through this a little bit, I think, in the headache episode. Basically, what this looks like is laying on your back. We like to roll up a little towel, and if you find the back kind of bump on your head, placing it just below that bump on your head at the very top of your neck, and you kind of just will lightly retract the chin to try and push back into those towels as you kind of make sure you're feeling like you're lengthening through the top of that head. Hold for about 5 seconds and then relax. If you do that correctly 3, 4, 5 times, it might feel like a small insignificant movement, but you should start to feel a real deep like muscular engagement and burn deep in your neck.
Mm-hmm. And this is so easy to just start. Like you can lay on the ground and do it. You could do it before you get out of bed. You could do it when you're sitting in your chair. You can do it when you're driving. And remember, it's not just like push your chin straight back. It is that chin tuck, which comes like back and down just a little bit so that the top of the head kind of comes up like you're someone's pulling you from a string and elongating you. And obviously there's different ways that you can manipulate that and make it harder. But if you just start working on it and putting your neck in a different position, that's essentially what we're doing and building back up that strength. It's so important. And then there's other stretches that I like to do. I don't like to become obsessive about the stretches at the neck because, like I said, if the body is feeling tense and tight, just relieving that tension momentarily doesn't mean that it's going to last very long. So, I mean, things you can do just to help relieve in the moment is like kind of squeezing that SCM, that muscle that we talked about that kind of goes from like the back of the jaw area and down toward the like the inside of the clavicle region. And if you just kind of gently pinch and move it, that's a good one. And then we'll show some stretches that I've shown on Instagram before on YouTube. And then the other one is just for the stretching in the back of the neck. I mean, honestly, one of my favorite ones to do if I'm actually wanting to stretch and relax that area is either lying on the IntelliRoll because it has those acupressure points along the side.
Nice.
So good. Or even just laying on like the tune-up therapy balls, which we can link in the show notes.
For sure. I think that the last place that I like to address, especially referring to this tech neck, is my upper back. Just one of my spots personally, but also the neck, a lot of the muscles that come up and connect into the bottom of the head kind of reach down into that upper back. So if we work on some open books, if you get on the ground and just work on that thoracic rotation, you'd be surprised how much it helps kind of activate or help you become more aware of your upper back and neck.
Yeah. And then the last thing, remember, it's not just about mobility. Mobility is great. It's going to help you break up your day. It's going to help you feel better and move better. And we must be strengthening. So if you're just doing mobility, if you're just doing yoga in your life, these are great practices to downregulate the body, to get it moving, to get it fluids going. But we must be strengthening. If you really want to get out of that forward head posture and create strength within the body, it takes time, it takes diligence, it takes consistency. And that can look like so many different ways that you can strengthen the body, whether you're using body weight techniques and loading at different angles, or you're using weight, you know, both resistance training with bands, with weights, with anything. Just it helps to build the body in general. So please don't forget about strengthening.
So with all of that stuff, so many ways to start approaching why we have the forward head posture, how we start to explore that balance all the way from our breath up through our neck and back, and just really finding ways to break up our day, change our environment in order to support change in how we're holding ourselves.
100%. Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at Doc Gen Fit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community. Tell us what you're learning. Rate and subscribe to the episode because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT Pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.